In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
The one thing we know when we're running empty, running on empty, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, all of us need to refuel. Can I get an amen? That's the actual prayer that the Apostle Paul shares in Scripture when he pens this, that we would be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God.
Welcome to In Christ Radio, where we are continuing in our Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark, as we explore the life of Jesus, our servant in sacrifice, and our King in glory. Today we cover chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, with the lesson titled, Running on Empty. The disciples have just returned from ministry, tired, hungry, and worn out. Jesus calls them away to rest, but the crowds follow. Instead of turning them away, the servant king has compassion. He feeds not only their souls with his teaching, but also their bodies with a miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and more than 5,000 people satisfied. The lesson here, when we run on empty, Jesus is the one who fills. He meets us in our weakness, multiplies what little we have, and proves himself to be more than enough. It is okay to rest. Jesus calls us to rest. When you feel exhausted or overwhelmed, do you turn to your own strength or to Jesus, the one who can supply abundantly more than you need? So grab your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, in the lesson titled, Running on Empty. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest. 'Cause everything I need to be in Christ.
Question. What do you do if you realize you're emotionally exhausted? You know, physically, you can kind of push through. Okay, I'll get up, I'll do that. Yeah, oh, my husband needs clothes for tomorrow. Okay, physically, you do it. What if you're emotionally? I found somebody in Scripture that teaches us a good lesson. When Elijah faced that experience when he was emotionally drained, God led him to do 3 things to help him recover. And these are things that can help us recover too. When you feel like I'm at wit's end, number one, he says, rest your body. You go, duh, that's what you said. We've already talked about this. But if your mind goes to Psalm 23, remember what the psalmist wrote. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Guys, that's physical rest. That's physical rest. Why do you think the Lord prescribed a Sabbath for Israel? Because they won't rest. He says, from Saturday night at 6 to Sunday night at Friday night at 6 to Saturday night at 6, excuse me, you're going to rest. And if you don't, it's against the law. What would we do? What would we do? We're supposed to rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do when you're emotionally exhausted is to take a nap. There you go. That's what I was waiting for. How is it yesterday when I had my grandson, 3 years old, he fought me just a little bit to take a nap. And as adults, that's all we want to do. You remember your preschool days. I don't want to take a nap. Now we're like, please let me take a nap. Some of you will go, just five minutes. Let me close my eyes for 5 minutes. And the next thing you do, you wake yourself up snoring, don't you? We're tired, but take a nap. Number two, he tells Elijah, he says, now this is key, release your frustrations. What do you mean? Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. How so? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, Elijah says this to God, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one that's left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he's doing? Elijah didn't hold anything back. He didn't filter his feelings. He told God all of his frustrations. All of his frustrations. Guys, We have to just tell the Lord. He understands. God's not looking going, wait, what you did? What? He just knows our hearts sometimes. And sometimes we go, Lord, I am just done. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to rest. You just, Lord, I just need to be renewed. The third thing we see in Elijah, it's to remember and then refocus on God. When you're emotionally exhausted and nearing burnt out, you need to remember what God says and who he is. When we do that, we shift our eyes away from our problem and towards Jesus. So we rest physically. We come back to the Lord. We just, Lord, emotionally, I mean, I don't know. The disciples are like, oh, there they go. Ah, but those are things we need. Guys, we need to rest our body. We need to release our frustrations. It doesn't have to be angry and you don't have to, but you can just get alone with God and just tell him, Lord, this is what's going on. I'm crying out to the Lord. David did all the time in the Psalms. So you see what's going on here. Let's jump back in our text. Verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, we need to chat just a little bit. It's not that the disciples were frustrated in wanting the day to end, per se. You ever have those days? You ever have those days where it's like, man, I just want this day to end. Are you kidding me? It's not that. Why? Because they understood the mission. When we read the first verse, and when Jesus came out and he saw the multitudes, you and I were thinking the same thing. Lord, send them away. We'll do ministry tomorrow. Give us a couple of days, Lord, please. We just want to hang out with you and sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, please. He didn't do that. Jesus had compassion on them. He feels their compassion, but see, Jesus sees the big picture. And sometimes when you and I get that physical rest, get that emotional rest, it helps us see the bigger picture of mission and what God has called us to do. And so what happens is Jesus loves on them. He teaches them. And finally, way into the day, they come to Jesus and say, Lord, excuse me, hold on. Wait right there. Jesus, it's getting late. It's getting really late. Do me a favor. We're a long way out in the country. Send the crowds away so they could at least go to the farms and the villages and they could eat something. That's a good request, isn't it? Hey, Lord, we love people. They need to eat. We haven't eaten. It's probably a good thing. But Jesus does something very interesting. Note the response. But he answered and he said to them, you give them something to eat. Can you imagine? Well, Lord, I'm sorry. Come here. Maybe you didn't understand what we said. There's a lot of people. There's 5,000 plus women and children. There's a lot of people. There's nowhere here to eat. And, we passed a village. There's, you know, send them. Let them go. Class over. Dismissed. And the Lord looks at you and goes, you feed them. Wait. So here's their response. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give everybody a little something? I don't know if the disciples got together and said, hey, I think Jesus is losing it, man. I think he's the Messiah and all, but I think he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, because how in the world, I mean, what is he saying? Check it out, because that brings us to number three, spiritually. You go, wait a minute. Yeah, physically, emotionally, these guys are drained spiritually. How so? Well, the text doesn't say, but we can glean that the disciples are running on empty spiritually. You go, Ben, how so? I want you to note their reply. They're going, with what? How are we going to feed them? We have to work for months, the text says, to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. Now, put on your thinking caps, church. Within our text, we simply see an exchange of conversation about the feeding of the multitude. But if we dig deeper, we discover more. You go, how so? These guys have walked with Jesus. In the first phase, they saw Jesus do miracles. They saw people come back to life. They saw him do incredible things. You know it. John says that there are things written that we'll never know, that if they wrote them, the books would go to heaven. So they saw this. And in the second phase, guys, they experienced firsthand the casting out of demons and the healing of people. They saw this. So why are they spiritually exhausted. Well, could it be that they're simply spiritually exhausted so much that they forgot who Jesus was? You're saying none of the responses would have been, well, Lord, you're God. You're God. We can feed him. We have faith. We trust in you, Lord. None of them were like, okay, Lord, how do you want to do this? What steps of faith do we need to take? What, where? None of them were like that. They were like, okay, how are we going to do? How much money? You know? Let me say this. The guys right here, they're forgetting who Jesus. Let me say this, okay? When you and I are running empty spiritually, it's often the fuel for unbelief. You go, what do you mean? Well, let's take a look. Jesus said to them, verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, let me bring it into context, guys. In John chapter 6, verse 9, it says, there was a young boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And here's what it says. I want you to see this. Look at verse, it says, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Okay? They look for a little kid with lunch. He went over to McDonald's and he got the Filet-O-Fish meal. That's all he got. 2 pieces of bread and a fish. And can you imagine that mom this morning? Lord, hey, mom, we're gonna follow you. Let's go. Okay, but don't forget lunch. How many of you moms are like that? Don't forget lunch. Dad is already in the car ready to go and mom's still packing the lunch, right? And that's, there it is. But think about this. Here's this little boy and he's got this little lunch. And he's like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm okay. I got food. And they said, son, can we have your food? Uh-uh. You know, no way. Why? Guys, again, but here's their response. But what good is that with this huge crowd? What good is that? You see, right here. Now, I want you to note what happens next. Then he commanded them to make them sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed it, he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them all. Let's stop right there, okay? Can you imagine? First and foremost, the little boy had to give up his lunch. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. You try taking chicken nuggets away from a kid. That's a miracle. But really, come on, put your thinking caps on. What is 2 little fish? What is 2 little loaves? And I mean, think about this. What is that going to do amongst? That wouldn't even feed us this morning. If everybody got just a pinch, it still wouldn't feed us. So it's got to be silly faith, doesn't it? What do you think the disciples were thinking when they took this little loaf and they brought it to Jesus? It's like, what's he going to do with it? If the disciples are human, like us, which we know they are, I wonder if they thought, well, at least we'll get fed first, since we're his disciples. Let's see. They start counting, right? Oh, no, where's John? John's here. Okay. All right. We're good. Everybody gets a little piece of the filet of fish. We're good. I don't know if they thought that, but I know that's how we are. But he said, hey, make him sit down. I'm telling you right now, aren't you waiting for Jesus to dismiss him? Why are you making him sit down? Listen, guys, when we're physically exhausted, when we're emotionally exhausted, when we're spiritually exhausted, come on, church, listen, here's what we do. We start to question God's commands in our lives. God, why don't you? And then we start to counsel the Lord. Lord, well, why don't you do this? I think you should do this. Lord, well, just send him away. We have to be so careful. It says in verse 42, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of fish. Wow. Fragments and the fish. Now, those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Wow. Let me say it again. And they all ate. What a miracle. Can you imagine if I took a little loaf here and some fish and I started here with Anthony and Carissima and they ate as much and they passed it. And by the time it got over here, everybody was like full, like super full. And by the time it came back here to Abel's like, man, I got so much. I don't know what to do. And we were filling. That would be incredible. That would be incredible. Would we still believe? Would we trust the Lord at that point? Come on. You go, yeah. The disciples didn't. Pastor Ben, what do you mean? Well, think about this. In just a few chapters, he's going to have the same situation with 4,000, and they still don't go, oh, yeah, I remember that day. Amen, let's go. They're still, they're like us. And here's the point I want to make. There are times in your life that God moves just like this, the feeding of the 5,000, and it's so sad because in a couple of months we doubt him again. Let me encourage you, church, keep a journal. Keep a journal of every big or small of what God is doing in your life. So when the hard times come, you can look back and go, yes, Lord, you have been faithful. You have been faithful. Why am I worried? Why am I stressed? You have been faithful. See, the feeding of the 5,000, I saw it differently. We always preach it in the miracles and the fish, the whole nine yards, but man, I just see these guys running on empty just a little bit. And I thought it's appropriate because many of us today are still running on empty. The feeding of the 5,000 guys, it highlights Jesus' divine power, of course. We see his compassion towards people. Thank you, Jesus. And the ability to satisfy physical and spiritual hunger. See, physically they ate, but at that point something clicked in their mind. Wow. You got to understand that there was probably a select few that knew this was just a small lunch. But as it got through the ranks of the 50 and the 100, they were probably going, where did they get this food? We were with them the whole time. Did you bring the food? No, I did you. And so it builds our faith. It builds our faith. But as we close our study, the one thing we know when we're running on empty, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, all of us need to refuel. Can I get an amen? That's the actual prayer that the Apostle Paul shares in Scripture when he pens this, that we would be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Here's the literal translation. Being filled. You see, it's not a one-time filling. It's a constant refueling. Guys, your body, your emotional, you are like a vehicle that needs to go to the gas pump several times. And the good news is it doesn't cost you a lot of money. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to rest. It doesn't cost you anything to just spend time with God, tell him how you feel, walk with him, share your heart, cry out to him if you need be, and then he'll refuel you spiritually. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not a one-time feeling. Why? Because if we're honest, we all have that constant need. We all have that constant need. There are always things in our life which are draining us, challenging us, and weighing us down. And let me exhort you to this. When you get to that point, you have a choice of what you're going to do. Let me give it to you again. Rest. Rest. Take time to take a nap. Take time to get away from the noise. It's okay. It's okay. We all have a hard time doing it. I get it. We're always pushing on to the next one and the next one and the next one. Just take a minute. Take a minute. Well, Pastor, I'm young. I'm 20. I can do this. You rest now. Get into that habit. Now, I'm not saying be lazy. I'm saying rest. Come refuel emotionally and let him refuel you spiritually. We see it in the disciples. We see it in the 5,000. Would you do me a favor? Would you take a moment to ask the Lord, Lord, where am I? Where is my needle? Where's my needle? Some of you might be running on full and you're just like, man, let's go. And you're just excited about life and ministry and all that stuff. That's amazing. Some of you might be halfway and you're just like, man, yeah, I'm gonna need to get to a gas station pretty quick. And some of you here might be on E. And some of you here might be below E. Anybody run their car below E? Yeah. Ben, don't raise your hand. E doesn't mean enough. How much gas do you have? E, enough. It means you need to stop and you need to take some. Maybe you're here today and you're not right with God. You're not right with God. Do me a favor. If you're not in a right relationship with God, or you got some issues going on, or there's some bitterness or something in your heart, take a moment to get right. Say yes to him. If you've never given your life to Jesus, and throughout the whole teaching, lights were coming on and you were saying, Pastor Ben, some things were happening and I don't think I have a relationship like you said, that relationship with God. As a matter of fact, Pastor Ben, I feel like I'm a million miles away from God. Well, maybe you feel like you're a million miles away, but you're one decision from him today. And if you're here today, would you do me a favor? Would you let me pray for you? If you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus or you want to come back to him, this is a salvation message. This is an eternity message. If you're not right, but God is knocking on your heart, not me, I want you to do me a favor. Would you lift up your hand and say, Pastor Ben, pray for me. I want to be right with God. Would you do that right now? I just want to give you an opportunity. I never want to leave our church without an opportunity for someone to come and say yes to him. If you're here today and eternity's at stake, just do that. Pastor Ben, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus today once and for all. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Would you do that right now? Anybody need prayer right now for that? And so if we've got some bitterness or we're just emotionally drained or we're just tired, we're running on empty, but would you do me a favor? Would you just be right? Just pray with God. Say, Lord, that's me. I'm physically tired. I feel like the disciples. I'm emotionally and Lord, spiritually, man, I'm having a hard time today. And call on his strength like we learned in Isaiah. Do that today. Can I give you three things that we need to ponder? Number one, I want you to look within your heart. Just look deep within and ask the Lord to reveal anything that's not pleasing to him and confess it. Lord, there's some bitterness in my heart. There's some anger in my heart. There's some resentment in my heart. There's some just doubt in my heart, whatever it might be. Ask the Lord. The second thing I want you to do is look back. Look back at your life. Man, look back at all that he's done. If you don't have a journal, purchase a journal. Start writing down all the things that God has done. And then we could just always take communion going, Lord, you are so, 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 so good to us. You bless us. You love us. And last but not least, church, we want to look ahead. So Lord, today we come as a body, as a church, to the sweetness of the cross, to the death, burial, and resurrection, to the reconciliation of us back to you. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross so that we can have an eternal home with you. We open up our heart. We invite you inside. We believe, we believe, we believe. And so, Lord, as a family, thank you for today, for your great love, for your mercy. Thank you that you fed the 5,000. That hunger, all of those people were hungry again, Lord, probably the next day. So spiritually, you are the bread of life. And so I pray that every 5,000 was saved, all the women, all the children. And Lord, it was the beginning of something beautiful. And I pray today that we're the same, that we're filled spiritually, so we can continue to do your work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's Gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life. In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I